Welcome, friends, to Tanked Up, the podcast all about video games and craft beer. I'm one of your hosts, Ben, here with the returning Adele.
Hey!
It's episode 443, and we're going to open some beers and talk about some games. What are you starting with, sir? It's been a little while.
Yes. I definitely took my Steam Deck with me to Canada. I definitely didn't do much with it. Well, I mean, when I was around the kids, I didn't actually want to...
Yeah, it's fair.
Like, they've done a good job about screen time and stuff. Mm. And I just didn't need to. A lot of decomp. But yeah, mostly just went whitewater rafting.
Nice.
My sister, her husband, and the two kids were very big now. Ray is 15.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's nuts, isn't it? Absolutely. When you sent that picture over of sort of everyone when you were all sort of together,
yeah.
I thought the two pictures, the one of the older kids and then the one of the younger kids, was like, oh, we've taken the same picture number of years apart, sort of thing. I'm just being like, Jesus Christ. Obviously, it was two different sets of children, but it sort of looked like it had been set up in that kind of way. Well, at some point, even if it wasn't, they were still small. That is the age that I picture them at, which obviously was 10 odd years ago or so.
Yep, sounds about right.
Because
I guess when I lived with them that brief few months in 20... It was before Halifax, right? Yeah. No? After Halifax... God, I don't know. That was a messy few years. But yes, so went whitewater rafting. And then before all the fam came, actually, I went to, I told my friends, hey, kind of going to Canmore with the family, then going to Saskatoon, and I'm not sure how much time I'll have on the other side to see y'all. Let's hang out. And then my mom was like, I don't want to leave that. I just want to be around in town for the daycares, and so I hung out with those guys, played some Magic, which was good, caught up with them, and then they're like, oh, by the way, we're going camping like 2 weekends from now, and like the cabin camping, like not even in a tent,
right.
Like just real chill. We do this every year, and there's space on one of the floors, and I was like, yeah. Like, give me the days. And it was literally such that they were coming back. I was going to be in town for a couple of days. And then we left and we came back in town, had dinner with my folks, went to bed, went to bed, woke up, caught a plane. So it was like, I got to have an evening with my folks. But yeah, so this has been like it was a very go trip, which was good. It's exactly what my ADHD brain like. Recharged off of weirdly,
nice
because it was
nice.
Like not hard go right,
yeah.
But we went near Castle Mountain, which is mostly known as a ski place, but there's a Glacier Fred River and a spot to cliff jump from. So I ticked whitewater rafting and cliff jumping off of my bucket list.
Amazing.
Although I think I may have cliff jumped in Nicaragua, depending on what you count. But this was a bit higher, so that was fun. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah,
so those were the games. I've done it again, Ben. I've missed the games.
Brilliant.
The game of life.
Well,
but not the game of life, which is a terrible board game.
Exactly. Well, what are you going to drink this evening, Ben?
Oh, yeah.
Move on to the beer, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. I'm having... I picked this up, actually, 2 days before I left.
Mm.
Because they were in short supply. It's... Wylam did a collab with Browar Stół Mostau, which is a Polish brewery.
Nice.
And so it's a Newcastle Donut Pastry Sour.
Ooh.
4.2%. Ben at the Hop Knocker said it was really, really good. And so I was like, oh, well, you only have 6 tins. Why don't I buy one and then pack? So.
Brilliant.
So it's been sitting in my fridge waiting.
So is it a Wylam brewed? Beer.
Yeah, so it's it's brewed at Wylam,
yep.
But however you classify, you know, collabs.
Nice. What percentage was it?
4.2. Yeah, sorry. Okay. It's Newcastle Donut, Pastry Sour, and the notes are mango, pineapple, and donuts, which sounds wild.
It's an odd mix.
Yeah.
I'm staying. Wylam is pretty local to you. I'm also staying local this evening, drinking a beer from Wiper and True. It's a new one. I haven't seen it previously, called Swim Deeper. And it's a 7.2% IPA. So, a bit of flavour text. Swim Deep is one of the best pale ales we've ever made at Wiper and True. In this IPA, we're taking it a step further to swim deeper. Our talented brewers are putting their skills to the test with a recipe loaded sky high with cashmere and Eldorado hops. This isn't about hops for the sake of it, though. This is a balanced, smooth and silky soft IPA with bursts with tropical pineapple aromas and sweet aromatic notes of white wine. So there we go. They've gone for a nice blue on their label.
Ooh, that's really nice.
Yeah, their labels have gone a little bit more colourful as of late. I suppose the last maybe year, 18 months, something like that. They started going sort of greens and blues and pinks and things. You know, their core range still has that gold sort of leaf effect on a lot of their sort of labels and things. But yeah, their one-off beers are a touch more colourful at the moment. But we'll return back to the Wylam.
Hmm. It poured... like mango. Wow. Juice.
That's so bright.
It is so orange. It's so thick looking. It literally poured like mango. Like, here, I actually, because it was a bit ahead, it's all gone. So I can show you how thick the pour was. Like, it just looks like
nice.
Juice.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look at that, Adil. I was half expecting myself to say, as soon as I said, because I like was focusing on showing you the pour, I'm like, oh, there's like no space. And then I'm like, oh, I stopped perfectly. And I was like, as soon as I say that, I'm just going to spill all over myself. We've been here before, but didn't. Oh, man. So I took a sip so I wouldn't spill.
Yeah.
But
yep.
Even bringing it to my face, the nose was like, the mango's there. It does have a weird, I guess that's pastry-ish, like almost a slight yeasty, but not like in a bad way, undertone to the... It's kind of actually just a bit of a stale bread, like, note on the nose after the sort of light hit of the mango. It's really hard to tell because I took a sip and it's very mango-y.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually shocked it's only 4.2%. It's thicker. They must have put a lot of actual mango... pulp or something, because it's you saw the pour, it tastes viscous in a way that like modern beers have been somehow cheating the viscosity in the way the flavor kind of hides it, or like these like 10-13% taste like 8-6s. This is the opposite. This 4.2 tastes like it's closer to 8 just because it's so thick.
Yeah
It's got a lovely tartness on the finish, which really pulls into the mango. Because the sweet of the mango and this tartness, as it fades, I'm not getting... I never really know what you should expect from a pastry sour. I feel like I've had some from Vault City and some from... Oh, what's the other word? They're like Italian-y name, starts with a P. The big...
Pastore?
Yeah, that's the one. See, I was right. Both of them do excellent sours, and like their pastry sours don't taste... the same, like they don't taste like they're the same type of beer. But this is honestly, it tastes mostly like mango juice, which is not a bad thing. I really like that it's got the perfect level of tart that it tastes like maybe like underripe, just slightly underripe, and mango juice that's then sat for a bit, so it's sweetened towards fermentation. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of got both sides of the juice is sat too long in the fridge and it's fermenting, and the mangoes weren't quite ready to be juiced, which is really interesting. And that's, like, not a bad thing. It's just these, like, light notes of both things, because it's sort of, there's an interplay happening in the beer. It's really good. It's really refreshing. And actually, it's not the type of refreshing that that I usually joke about. Oh, I wish it was. I had it when it was a sunny day. This just is refreshing. This feels like a solid beer that, like, yes, nice. Obviously on a hot day you'd be like, ooh, yes. But this also just feels really refreshing. Again, this is one of those, if you don't like the beer taste in beer, you will like this. It does have slightly on the finish a bit of a hoppy, a bit of a finish that is beery, which I'm really glad for. But honestly, you could literally take it or leave it. Like, I looked for it. I'm glad it's there. I can look for it again. But if you don't look for it, you're really just, the beeriness is really just that, like I said, that initial hit of effervescent, fermented, beery taste that kind of all immediately gives away to this big body of mango, which, like I said, I think is why it sort of feels like, oh, it's sat in the fridge too long, because it just has that, like, fermented juice.
Uh-huh.
Like, it tastes like beer, and then once it's switched to mango, that, like, lingering taste tastes more like fermented juice. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you're
absolutely not getting a hit of fermented, but you are getting the finish kind of that part of the taste kind of lives shifts to that. But yeah, it's really good.
Nice. Good. I'll delve into this Wiper and True then. It smells beautiful. Nowhere near as bright as yours. Almost a similar color though, with the light and the camera. It's got that bit of an orange glow. A little bit yellower from, you know, and actually, and back here you see it's a bit more subdued when it's not quite in that light. But big, yeah, lovely.
This is almost like glowy orange.
It's almost luminescent, isn't it, yours?
Yeah.
It is much more like juice. This lovely big pineapple nose. Huge. Which is really good, because pineapple, and we've said this for years, gets lost very easily. But that's a very big pineapple nose.
While you sip, I'll say yes, it does, because pineapple was one of the notes on my tin. Didn't say that word once. Though it might be where that sort of fermented, acidic note that I was feeling might be the pineapple, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, how is...
And this is... It's interesting, because as with the flavor text, it is pineapple. You do get a big push of... And white wine is an interesting flavor to note on your beer, because white wine comes in as many flavors as beer does.
Yeah.
And it's an odd one, because I think it's not necessarily the flavor of white wine in this. There is a... It's kind of... You're getting the pineapple straight away. But it's not sweet. It's actually a little duller than the nose would suggest. It doesn't have quite the sweetness that the nose is in the pineapple. But it very quickly turns to become a little bit more earthy, a touch kind of bitter. And then it leans more into a vinous flavour to it. And it's a much more kind of, not even necessarily a grape kind of earthy sort of flavour. But you're getting that little bit of alcohol burn. You're getting a little bit of a tartar kind of finish to it as well. And I think that's what those white wine sort of flavours are. It's much more the mouthfeel. And the way that the flavor molds through a few different things. So, you know, that kind of pineapple into a sort of a more earthy... And almost a bit more... Like a real harsh kind of bitter. It's not quite on the edge of sort of like cigarettes. It's like a sweetened... slightly sweetened version of that. But I'm not getting the sweetness with the pineapple. I'm getting the sweetness with the bitterness sort of more towards the end. And that combination is definitely giving me a white wine, like a not even a cheap white wine, but something that's a little bit more lacking in flavour on the white wine sort of scale. You know, you drink white wines and they can either be sort of peachy or you know, again, a huge range of sort of what they can actually achieve. But I can see what they're saying with white wine. But it's... difficult to kind of pick a note, like an actual flavor out of it, because it's much more like the finish of a white wine. It's not like the initial, it's the, like the initial sip of a beer with the finish of a white wine, but slightly harsher finish of a white wine, you know, more along that sort of bitter, slightly tart kind of note. But it's interesting. And that smell is turning more, as my palate's becoming accustomed to it. The pineapple is not disappearing. It's still there. But it's definitely being pushed back slightly now that I'm used to it. And there's something else I'm not quite able to pick out that's now starting to come through a little bit on the nose, that it's, you know, that it's on my tongue and it's sort of sat there. You get it a bit more in the nose now. Maybe it'll come to me as we're talking and drinking and stuff. It's interesting. It's definitely an interesting beer. It starts off really, really nicely. I'd say maybe that finish, if you weren't used to a bit more of a bitter, bigger beer, might be a touch off-putting because of a couple of the flavour combinations that are going on and how it makes the, you know, the mouthfeel sort of come across. But for me, I think by the end of this beer, I'll really like it. At the moment, I'm a bit like, well, I'm not sure how this is panning out, but I think it's going the right kind of way. So we'll see. We'll see as we chat and drink. But for games... go on, what were you saying?
I was just saying, now that my palate's gotten used to it, the pineapple... and I know that cracking the code of the pineapple being the more fermented sort of soury tart part, but actually once the finish is really interesting because as the mango recedes, you're getting another wave of that pineapple, presumably because it never left.
Sure.
And then actually that bready thing that was in the nose is there. My finish is a sweet cooked bread. It's donut. Donut is sitting there finished. Nice. When the pineapple recedes, I'm getting the donut. I just needed the mango is just really strong. It's just very forward on those first few sips. But I've only had this much, right? And now I'm feeling the nuance of that. And actually, this is making me want to take smaller and smaller sips so I can get that all those interesting notes over and over.
Nice.
Even better beer than I said before.
Good. I do enjoy how beers just have the ability to mold and change and kind of grow as you do become more accustomed to their flavors.
Yeah.
That flavor profile can just open up the more that you drink it.
Yeah, your palate and the beer are dancing along that taste curve.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice, good. So, I spoke last week with Lucy about Battlefield. The Battlefield beta. And I have basically not played anything except the Battlefield 6 beta, which finished last weekend. So I haven't played anything for sort of the last few days. But before I launch into sort of my few more thoughts that I've got on that, which I'm sure it'll be interesting to get your take on sort of on it as well, having been a bit of a Battlefield player back in the day now, I suppose. You mentioned you'd seen a few elements from Gamescom as well.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd open up with that.
Sure. Have you seen any of these games?
I've seen some. I've seen a few of the announcements. I didn't watch the show. Didn't watch the, whatever it's called, opening night live or opening night show. I didn't watch that. But I have seen lots of, you know, Blue Sky posts and articles and things coming out. So I've caught up with quite a few of the announcements.
Fair. So before I just talk about games that interested me, conveniently, a few of the ones that really interested me were part of the very surprising to me break in the middle of the program where they're like, hey, we're in a bad political situation. So we're highlighting these games that are about that stuff.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, it's worth watching the clip. I wish so. Yeah, like Keeley, it just says like, he sort of it wasn't a great like monologue. It was just like a bit about like you know we're in a hard time and we need to focus on these things. But and like it was really funny because every up until this point, every presenter was like that was a dude was in like. T-shirt, blazer, usually white, light t-shirt, black blazer, dark slacks.
Right.
Not even jeans. And then he announces the developer, Jörg Friedrich, for The Darkest Files. And he comes in and he's in he's wearing a graphic tee with the words on it. Like, just, he's just in clothes. And then he starts saying, and says in his spiel about this game, this is super important because democracy is under attack. And I was like, hell yeah.
Nice.
Gamescom, really? I'm surprised at you. And of course I went on Reddit and there were angry nerds who are, you know, privileged white bastards.
Keep politics out of our games.
Literally word for word.
Jesus.
Why can't we keep politics out of our games and divisiveness? Divisiveness shouldn't be in your mouth. It's like but they highlighted three games. Sorry, I was looking for the I had to go switched from the from Matt. I'm not even gonna say so. I found a website that mentioned it and then lo and behold it's the bad people. And so I had to find another one before I was reading. So, The Darkest Files is a game about investigating Nazis after World War II ended in order to deliver justice. So it's like an investigation clue game. It's very pretty looking. And this was the one by the developer who said democracy under attack. He's clearly European. I also thought it was super interesting because that's a thing that you can get away with saying on stage in Gamescom because it's in Europe. And I don't think you could. At all. Like, that was a moment where it's like, hell yeah. And then I'm like, oh, this, even like 5 years ago, you couldn't bring up what's happening in the world in that way, even when things were better 5 years ago, on stage at like the Keeley's Game Awards in Vegas or where the fuck he has them in. But Darkest Files looks really interesting, both like, because of the climate, etc. It's obviously it's clear that they've made this game about the Nazis and bringing them to justice at this time for a reason. And I'm super curious so I don't think, just based on what they were saying and doing, I don't think they will pull punches on the like hard content or parallels to our times, which would make it a more interesting game. And again, why indies versus committees are a thing.
Yeah.
And so that was one of them. It has a demo, and I was hoping to play it, but I didn't get a chance because I was busy laundering some money in a passport. so that was one. And then... Glasshouse is I think it's an Italian developer. It's like a CRPG about people trapped in a building in the middle of a world war. So they're in one building and they have to solve something or do it. Again, like have to figure something out. And then Compensation Not Guaranteed is it's a point and click. It's sim about reviewing land documents in a post-colonial country while the government is taking other people's lands and putting them up for urban development.
That's cool. Like,
yeah, all three of those sound really cool for different reasons, and they all look really cool. And I don't remember the last time I saw one of these video game shows. And again, I had it in the background not even on my computer. I had it on the laptop because I just wanted to hear something. I needed something. I actually listened to Loading Ready Run talk over it because I was like, bleh. And then I would glance and see if rewind if they seemed to be like, that's a cool thing. I'm like, thanks. voices. Yes, that was a cool screenshot that they showed that moves. That's what I'm calling cutscenes now. Moving screenshots.
Moving screenshots, yep.
Yep. It was like, oh, shit. I rewound and watched like the bits, kind of tuning out the commentaries, listening to them. Like, I want to play all three of these. I went and put on, immediately went to Steam and wishlisted them. And I can't remember the last time I did that.
Nice.
Super pumped about those three games. Darkest Files, Glasshouse, and Compensation Not Guaranteed.
Nice. It looks like... I'm just trying to have a look. I'm trying to find sort of the trailers to be able to come back and look at them later. But I don't know what this is because I can't actually find the games on the Gamescom page.
Oh, it's terrible. But if you go on Steam, Darkest Files has both trailers, a demo, and it's currently 20% off because it came... It's out... already.
Nice. Okay.
And then Compensation Not Guaranteed is coming soon, but there is a demo.
Yep.
And then Glasshouse is wishlistable.
Nice. But it's having a look at a list on PC Games Network. It comes up and says Paint Bucket Games tells us more about the Darkest Files in collaboration with Gamescom Cares. So just have a look
at what Gamescom... was the name of the segment.
Yeah, have a look. There's a Gamescom Cares page, which is all about children at Gamescom, childcare. That you can there's a club you can drop your kids off if you're at Gamescom. Gamescom goes green, Gamescom Forest, their safe space policies, youth protection policies, all of these kinds of things. And great that they have this thing, but nothing about the... here we go. Games for Democracy. There you go. That was what you said the segment was called. That was very, And then, yeah, nice. Okay. So they show you a little bit, but they don't actually link any of the games in the Gamescom Cares page.
I had to go back to my Steam just to, and then go look things up because I had opened up the Gamescom website. It took the 3 minutes it takes to actually find the list of games. Went through them all. I'm like, those games aren't there.
Mm.
It's like, how much do you care? We're going to keep our cares about democracy off the capitalist list?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep. It's not allowed. It's not allowed on there. And also, having a look at a list of the games that were announced at Gamescom Opening Night Live on Rock, Paper, Shotgun, this doesn't look like it shows them either, interestingly.
They probably pulled it from the big list, right?
Big list of everything, and then...
And it's not on the list.
It's not on the list, and also there's then all of the trailers underneath, so it's not on there either, which is very interesting.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. Was there anything else before I jump in with sort of the couple of things that I thought were interesting?
Yeah. Oddly, NTE... So there's the non Star Rail gacha world maker, and they've made Neverness to Everness.
Yep.
And it actually looks neat. I think probably just because it's like anime ass bullshit, but it's an open world that's fairly modern, and like their previous game also had driving, and so like driving around and like. But I watched someone with some footage from the beta that just ended. And you can, if you don't get the crappy car that they suggest to you, you can get a motorcycle. And if you do a quest, it will light on with blue flames, and you can blue flame Ghost Rider around. And I'm like, for a free game? Fuck it. I'm going to try that. I'll spend the 5 to 7 hours to get to Ghost Rider bike idiocy. If the driving is some reasonable, right? Like,
yes, yeah.
I've been thinking of a GTA a lot. And it was just cuz I just want an open world to fuck around in and drive about. And that might be it. If it comes out soonish, which I think it's doesn't have a firm release date. Also, Neverness to Everness. God, why? Yeah, Honkai Star Rail.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the other ones. What's the first big one? Why have I forgotten it?
The one that's now closing down on PlayStation 4.
Is it?
Yeah.
I
can't even remember what it was called.
I've played
we played
tens
it, yes.
of hours.
Yes.
Fantasy S gacha game. What brain.
What's the one that they also did? Zenless Zone
Zenless
Zero.
And Honkai Star Rail. So Zenless Zero is the current one.
Yep.
Honkai Star Rail, apparently Zenless Zero is a better gameplay, but some people still like the fact that you're on a train, which isn't a train. So my friends, my friend Henry's kid, who is almost graduating high school, was playing it on his phone, and we had a chat. I'm like, I know barely anything. I'm like, so this is the train one, right? And he's like, yes, but it's in space. I'm like, cool. How do tracks work in space? And he's like, there are no tracks. I'm like, so it can go anywhere? And he's like, yes. I'm like, so it's not a train. He's like, but it's a train. I'm like, oh, fuck this.
Genshin Impact.
There we go. Yeah. I knew there was a G. I think my brain was just like, gee, gotcha. No, it's not gotcha.
It is. It's all gotcha, unfortunately. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I haven't watched the trailer for that one, but the name just screams nonsense.
It screams
to
all
me.
Of these bullshits. I don't know why they need to repeat letters like Zenless Zero. Neverness, Deverness.
Who knows? Who knows?
Like, is this like a bet the CEOs have?
Yeah.
So that one jumped out at me. There were worse anime-ass anime games, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
There was. This wasn't on the show, but there's a game called God Save Birmingham.
Yes.
What?
It's a zombie game, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. There's very little info on their website, but I was just like, well, I mean,
I've seen a couple of press releases come through for it, I'm pretty sure.
And then I thought you would enjoy, where is it? Oh, I think it's the other way around. Sorry, I'm just tabbing through. Park Ranger Simulator.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, to get some less plotty Firewatch vibes, I'm guessing.
Nice, nice.
It looks like a simulator game. I mean, actually, some of the lighting effects look like they may be really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought, I'll bring this up to you because one of us might want to actually take the code if there is one, which this seems like we could get a code for.
It'd be interesting to see how well it works. Like something like that. That's like, is it a populated world? Is it just animals that are running around? You know, obviously, Firewatch is a very sort of scripted event, and this is, I would imagine, a bit more of an open world kind of endeavor.
And then of course there's Parking World.
I have seen that as well.
And I was like, I think Ben would like this.
I don't know. It's something about car parks that drives me insane.
Yeah, I think you would secretly like it, but maybe just because you would like try and solve the problem.
Something like,
which
oh my God,
of course, don't build them.
Yes, I've got to tell every civil engineer in existence how I've managed to solve this issue, and they're like, no, we solved that, we just don't bother doing it. I'm like, oh, good, brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And then Death by Scrolling looked cool.
Yeah, that looked good.
I wish there was gameplay footage of the Resident Evil game. There was, I mean, it was just like the intro cutscenes, basically. Mm-hmm. But I haven't played a Resident Evil game in a while.
8's good. I liked 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't finish it, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Got to a point where I'm like, this is getting a bit too intense. I've got children and they don't like it. I'm going to put it down.
Yeah, I think that's where I sit with horror games these days. I will say that less horror, more schlock. John Carpenter's Toxic Commando is a video game, and I don't know what that means. Is that a movie that I like missed?
I don't know. I saw that as well, and I was like, I know nothing about this.
Yeah, I just like, I don't know what this is.
A new property, potentially?
But like
with just him involved,
I guess. Sorry, I'm laughing because as I'm scrolling through, I basically like clicked on a bunch that I might mention, and of course there's in a row Fate Trigger, Anime Hyper Tactical Hero Shooter, and then Duet Night Abyss. It's like anime ass jiggly physics games. I know why I can't find the one I'm looking for because it wasn't on the list. But Moonlighter 2 looks really good.
Yeah, that was one of mine. Moonlighter 2. I loved the first game. I'm really looking forward to the second one.
I remember you saying a lot.
Yeah,
and I was like, I think I own that, but also I might end up just going straight to 2.
It will be very
gamers do.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what the differences are and how they balance the game. Because one of the things I really enjoyed about Moonlighter was the loop. The shop versus the dungeon crawling elements to it. And they've got the shop back in Moonlighter 2. So it'd be interesting to see, is this just a bigger version, an expanded version with more stuff, more things, more enemies, more areas, and how they actually build upon what came sort of with the first game. So it does look like it's had a bit of an upgrade as well, engine-wise. The Moonlighter was more pixelated. Moonlighter 2 has got that slightly more... not cel-shaded as such, but it's got a bit more of a... it's not pixelated, ultimately, anymore. So it's taken on a 3D sort of visual to it.
Yeah, it's very much like the palette hasn't changed, and like the color blocking that you are necessitated for pixel art, because you know pixels. I think it looked as familiar to me, even though I didn't really play the game, but I watched a little bit of it being played. I'm like, yeah, this looks like the dude, and this looks like the place, and it's like, oh, you guys did a really good job of keeping those proportions and that palette while changing the underlying fidelity, really, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, as you say, it's kept the tone, definitely. So I'd like to see how it balances the two elements again, because I think the first game balanced them so well. But we'll see when that one. That's later this year, or is it early next year? Maybe, I can't remember. One of those times. What is it? It's later this year, coming to early access. Yes, it's an early access game. Yes, I remember. I read a press release. And the other one, which will surprise almost nobody, was Warhammer 40,000 Dawn of War 4.
I actually forgot that came out, or that was announced.
More absurd Warhammer-ness, more RTS nonsense. They've done a Dawn of War remaster, which I haven't looked at all. I really enjoyed that game. I liked the second one as well. Didn't like the third one as much. It moved.
When did the third one come out? Because my brain...
It's a long time ago. Long time ago.
Okay, when did the second one come out then? Because my brain was stuck on... Wait, wasn't the last one 2?
So Dawn of War 3 was 2017.
Oh, you know what it is? I think... Well, 2009 was Dawn of War... 2 anniversary edition.
Yeah, so it's before that. Dawn of War came out in about when did I go to university? It was not long around that time. I'd probably Google it rather than look at Steam.
Dawn of War 2 did come out 2009. Steam just does that stupid original release date.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dawn of War 3, April 2017.
Yeah, and Dawn of War was 2004. So we're 20 years on from 21 years on from Dawn of War, which is nuts. Because I played that game a lot.
I'm turning to dust.
What was the one that I really liked? I think it was Dark Crusade, where they introduced the Necrons and the Tau. Which was I can't remember whether it was an add-on or whether it was its own standalone game that was basically Dawn of War, but like a Dawn of War 1.5 sort of version. I don't remember. But yeah, Dawn of War 4 definitely is like cool. I love, everyone knows I enjoy a bit of strategy. I like a real time strategy. I like my Warhammer mans and ladies and how they look and the grim dark, you know, absurd future that's obviously coming towards all of us. So yeah.
Sorry, that's my other pick. There was another one I need to share with you if you didn't see it.
Mm. Whilst you're finding it,
I will I've sent it in the chat.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you can't actually.
Oh, no, I can't because I can't come out of the video.
Right. So it's called Another Pint.
Oh.
It's a. Another Pint is a dynamic management game where you get to build and run your own medieval tavern, tasked with taking over a bare bones shack where it's up. You take it. Where you take it is up to you. Good. Medieval management game set in a medieval low fantasy world where you get to build and run your own tavern.
Including the drinks. It looks like Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, I was going to say the fucking style was like, ooh, yes, we both want to play
this. Absolutely. That's amazing.
Yeah. That was my like, oh, I'm going to like, if he doesn't mention it, I'm going to be like, wait, buddy, you missed a big thing.
No, that's cool. I like that. Wish list right fucking now. That aesthetic's great.
Yeah, that aesthetic is great. And we need more beer games. It's been a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I like the idea that there's camps and you potentially are going out to forage or grow and find hops and things like that. I mean, maybe it's not. Maybe it's something slightly different, but...
Particularly special setups can attract particularly special guests, which is such a fucking tease when they say it's low fantasy, right? It's not medieval, it's low fantasy.
Yeah.
That means you can make the skunkiest beer and fucking goblins will come or some bullshit, right? Like, you fuck up your beer and now you have to deal with goblins who love these bad beers, right? Like,
absolutely, absolutely. Or you've got the, you make some mead and it's just full of bearded men constantly.
Yeah.
It's like everyone else tries to come in. They're like, no, you can't come in here. This is a biker. It's a biker bar now. Sorry. Just because you brewed some mead. Nice. Good.
And I don't know why, but the Division 2 is on the list of games.
Is it?
Yep.
I know they've got a DLC there must be a... coming out.
I guess. Oh, wait, so I will say the Gamescom website is fucking trash. There's no information. It takes it like three scrolls up and down to even find the screenshots and stuff. Mm. But I'm on there, and it says experience genre-defining endgame, so maybe this is the end?
Okay.
I don't know.
There is a new Division coming out soon-ish that's been teased for a while. Heartland or something like that, I think it's called. Yeah, so maybe they're getting to the, you know, maybe they're done. I think the last one was like something to do with Brooklyn, Battle of Brooklyn, Battle for Brooklyn.
Yeah, and obviously, WTF? I'm sure you're already wishlisting it, right? That's Waifu Tactical Force.
So, what I enjoy on Steam is when you put WTF in. There's a very different game.
Oh, really?
Back from 2019. And it's... Oh. I don't know what it is. There's a sniper rifle. There's exploding heads. Oh, my
God. That's Hitler.
It's
George Bush.
It's Angela Merkel. There's world leaders in this. There's Putin with his shirt off.
It's 89 cents. Pence.
I don't know what this is, but now we've gone down the rabbit hole. Waifu Tactical Force. Let me have a look at Waifu.
Request Waifu access. Tactical Force.
Request access. If I do it on, opened it on Steam, Waifu Tactical Force. Request access, and you'll get notified when the developer is ready for more participants. So obviously, there's some kind of playtesting beta type thing that you can basically say go on a list on Steam.
Oh, I did not want to click ahead to your witness. I'll request access. I was mostly making fun of it, but also, I mean, so what I thought was interesting, and so the thing with Neverness 10 Everness was that it seemed like it had some like cosmetics and like build out your apartment and upgrade your cars and like and according to the claims, it's the city's supposed to have a bit more life in it, which is, you know, the biggest problems with these things. Who knows what that means? But Waifu Tactical Force, I can't believe we're spending more time, but it's a movement FPS plus life sim.
But what are the life sim elements? Yeah, what are the life sim elements? They probably tells you on their Steam list. Kawaii or die, it starts off with. Brilliant. Okay. Anime movement shooter. Easy access. Not early access. Easy access. Lovely.
What? That's... I don't know if I'm supposed
grow
to
grow the ultimate waifu army. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah, I was... I just... The name... The name... I just was trying to make a joke. I didn't expect us to spend more time on this.
Let's move on then from Gamescom and the anime explosion that it gave to everybody. And ultimately, I just got to tell you about Battlefield 6 a little bit more.
Yeah, please do. Oh, I will say the trailer for Call of Duty Blop 7 was unhinged.
Oh, I haven't actually seen it. That's the thing. I know everyone's been like, it's Call of Duty. I'm like, I've not looked at it whatsoever.
It's unhinged because it'll not be the same experience because you will know what you're opening now. But at the time, it wasn't clear what it was. And there's like weird dream sequences and fucking bizarre tonal shifts and like, I guess, more different types of dreams. It was like... It felt like an advertisement for a console in that, like, it genre shifted. It doesn't look good, but the trailer looks like a thing. But yeah, now that I've exhausted the things I think I wanted to say about that weird thing that I sort of watched.
Battlefield. Interesting, just before we move on to Battlefield, Call of Duty Black Ops 7 will be Battlefield 6's main kind of competitor, I suppose, in terms of like the two kind of tentpole shooters that exist in the gaming space. But we're on Black Ops 7. I don't think any Call of Duty sub-franchise has gone this long. Obviously, Modern Warfare rebooted into Modern Warfare, then 2 and then 3 of the new versions. There's not, I can't remember, World at War was a one-off. Bunch of one-offs and kind of maybe trilogy-esque. But I think Black Ops seems, for some reason, have just continued through. And I know they've obviously taken it now into a bit more of a future.
It's 2035.
Sort of, into a future vibe. So, interesting. How much Black Ops has that cachet to keep going rather than this being, you know, rather than this being Call of Duty 2035. See, they've learned from Battlefield 2042 and not doing very well and stuff. So keeping a name attached to it is interesting.
The one interesting thing besides the unhinged, like honestly, you couldn't tell what it is, trailer, is the campaign is designed to either be solo play or 4-player co-op.
Oh, nice. That's
cool. The whole
cool.
way through. Like not like
yeah.
pop in, help your buddy. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's it. That's the only interesting thing I have from the interview, whatever you call the standing on tame on stage and reading robo recordings.
The conference, as it's...
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, so Battlefield 6. It's one less than 7. It must be worse than the thing I saw a thing about.
Well, Battlefield 6. I think I started off with Lucy saying I was really enjoying it. I liked the first weekend in the beta. And actually, I think I'd only played a couple of days because I got a bit of early access into the beta. So I think I only played a couple of days when I chatted with her about it, which I've spent, you know, a few more hours with it sort of since. And there wasn't a huge difference between the first and second weekends of the beta. They introduced another map in the second weekend, which I only played a handful of times, which was the New York map. they very specifically came out and said, we're only putting in small and medium-sized maps into the beta. Right. You know, this is much more about how we can see how things are balanced and testing servers and all of those kinds of things, blah, 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 blah. Seeing, getting people excited for the experience. And there are a bunch of maps which haven't necessarily been announced yet, but have been leaked a little, which are two, three times larger than some of the smaller maps, you know, to give you more of that kind of battlefield, I suppose, experience, where it's much more kind of tank combat and vehicles and those kinds of things. That was a little bit limited in some of this. But actually, I kind of liked it, because what it did was it allowed me to understand the map a bit first. You play as an assault class, understand the map a bit, see the routes, see the lanes and all the corridors that kind of run through it. And then go, great, I'm now going to play engineer for a little bit. And I'm going to sit with this tank because I know that it's going to take these routes. But if something goes awry, I know where I can dart off to disappear and hide and then potentially cover a corridor coming from that kind of point. So I played a lot of Conquest, and I think I actually had my best game as an engineer. Sitting with a tank and then actually in a tank as well and going, nah, I'm just going to take the reins. One's respawned. I'm respawning at the same time. I can just take this and just flying around blowing the shit out of people. And it feels fucking good. It's
That's great.
It's a really, I think at least on console, a very bombastic and in the smaller maps a very fast-paced experience. I don't know if that's on purpose and they're trying to chase a bit of the COD crowd, but I could see how this will open up onto those bigger maps and how it will be much more akin to what you expect from kind of Battlefield rather than a, you know, Call of Duty competitor, let's say, or Call of Duty like. And I think it just gave me a taste for what's kind of to come, at least in, you know, as a you know, the beta for the main game, which for me was great. Now, there's been a little bit of complaint about kind of map size and weapons and a few things, but it's good to get that taste. I can see where they're going to tone some things up and down a little bit in terms of gun balancing and stuff. Like I could run around with a shotgun as an assault class and just blast the shit out of people. The shotgun was so incredibly overpowered in the beta. And yeah, you could shoot someone from like 10 meters away and it would still fucking just nail them.
Yeah, I saw Dunkey's video and it was like, he was throwing remotes, grenades, and using the shotgun and just being better than all the other weapons. And then he was like, I'll use the RPG. And it was just worse than just throwing like what should be a smaller grenade. Because it was just not killing people. Like, it's like, how is this doing less damage? And it's really inaccurate versus just lobbing a thing.
Yeah, no,
yep, got him.
I found exactly the same. You'd be running around and suddenly a group of like four enemies would appear. And I'm like, I'm an engineer. I haven't got much to actually kill them, just my SMG. I'll pull my RPG out and fire it. Yeah. And actually, like, oh, it hit the wall and the blast radius on it isn't very good and didn't really damage anybody. And actually, I'm just getting, like, whatever the you get 5 points for suppressing an enemy sort of thing, right. You know, like, very much geared towards firing straight for a tank. But actually, maybe the RPG, even in that essence, is a bit underpowered. You know, the RPG essentially just takes off 25 damage of a tank, you know, or 25% of the tank, which, if you've got an engineer with you, is healed so incredibly quickly. You'd be back to full health before the opponent had reloaded the RPG and then fired another one. You know, you would need to be a kind of two engineers firing RPGs at a tank to really take it down, or at least support another tank trying to take that kind of tank down. But I found trying to play the other classes and playing sniper on a couple of the other maps as well, like really enjoying the bullet drop and understanding exactly how that kind of works and having some very, very good tense one-on-one fights with other snipers kind of across areas of the map and things. Like it's been a minute
since.
But it's giving me all of that. It's giving me everything that that drew me into sort of Battlefield 3 and 4. Expands and Battlefield 1, but not the first Battlefield, the World War 1.
That's why I couldn't think of it. I'm like, the one that came after 4, what was it? Oh, it was 1?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, the destructive elements, where buildings collapse and all of those kinds of things are ramped up hugely. So it does feel big. It does feel bombastic. And I think when the full game, it's a shame there's not another open weekend before the game releases where they can say, here is one of the bigger maps, everybody, like, you know, 2 weeks before or something.
Mm.
Come in, play this big map. This is our tentpole experience for Battlefield. You know, play Conquest on this map. And I enjoyed some of the other game modes. There's like a squad deathmatch where ultimately you might be on a bigger map, but you're hemmed into a smaller area to just run around with a shotgun, shot the shit out of people. There's Rush, which was good and tense. And Kim actually sat with me on the sofa and was watching me play it. And she's like, there's a man, shoot him. She's back. I kept saying she was sort of backseat battlefielding. She was like, you should look behind yourself more. And I'm like, I should, you're right. But there was two guys behind me covering my ass. They should have caught the person who came up and shot me. Like,
yeah. And also, there's still stuff in front of me.
Yeah. And this is the thing. She's like, turn around. Literally turned around and then got shot from behind. I'm like, this is why you don't turn around. It was interesting because, you know, out of the, I suppose, it was the second beta available for 4 days. She sat with for one evening and was like, oh, are you going to play some more Battlefield tomorrow? I'm like, no, it's gone.
It's gone.
It's finished until October. And she's like, oh, okay. I was quite happy sat here, what, you know, actually watch it.
I mean, that's a good sign.
It is. And she's like, oh, it's exciting. I'm like, you're right. It is exciting. Would you like to have a go? And she's like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'll watch you play it. Like, would you want to watch me play Death Stranding 2? And she's like, no, don't give a shit. No, don't care about this odd man and his fucking baby. Like,
I mean, you want to play the game. I don't think you want to watch you play the game.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Just the sheer solitude of that game. It should be reflected in the play style of that game.
It comes out the day before my birthday.
Nice.
Which will be Adil 42. It's old, man.
I don't think you get new engines for every version of you, do you? I think it's just chugging along.
It runs worse. Yeah. It runs differently. Luckily, the rendering still seems fine.
Good. But that will start to go, well, hopefully not.
Oh, hopefully the rendering's not there, the frame rate, though.
Yeah, the frame rate, that's it.
You can't react to as many things because there's just not enough frames.
Man, the amount of times I can tell my reactions are that little bit slower as well playing something like this, where I'm like, I was going to reload and someone appeared and I should have just pulled my sidearm out or
but you were
done
thinking
else.
Reload.
But so I was thinking reload, so I reloaded and I'm like, bollocks. I pressed, pull my thing out, but by that time I was already dead. Like I can tell that my reactions just aren't as good as they were when we played a lot, which was, you know, when was Battlefield 1? 9 years. Yeah, Evelyn's 9, so 9 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, this was when Evelyn was just born.
Yeah.
And I was living in Easton.
Yes.
With Alex.
Yeah.
I was going to make a comment. I'm like, nope, we're on the internet. I shouldn't say a thing about a guy I lived with who was lovely, but we both struggled during that time.
Yes, yeah. But at least you had, you know, Battlefield to...
I did, yeah.
...get you through.
I did. I legitimately.
Yeah. Some very late-night sessions had. Which I imagine there's multiple episodes of Tanked Up you can go back to right at the start of our run to listen to what we thought about Battlefield 1.
Oh, yeah, we talked a lot about it. But that was still like 100 episodes or something, right?
Probably. Yeah. It's about a year or two in, definitely.
Yeah. So, probably about 100 episodes, but more than a year since almost 2 years in, because we weren't recording weekly. I mean, even
no,
this
that's
year
true.
We haven't. Yeah, every week. Yeah, so go check out episodes and through.
Yeah, but find out it's more like episode 63 or 64 or something like that.
Oh, no, I have to know, Ben.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. I think it's even with, you know, things like Ghost of Yote coming out. Is it Sword of the Sea, which has just come out on PS Plus?
Oh, yeah, what is that?
And is it Sword of the Sea? It is Sword of the Sea. Sword of the Sea is basically the next game from Giant Squid, who have a bunch of one person who was creative director of Journey on. And they made The Path. Oh, and Abzu as well. So that studio. I think Sword of the Sea is a bit of a Journey like almost, but maybe a little bit more fast paced, as absolute or The Pathless at least kind of was. You know, a few of those games I've been really looking forward to. I think Battlefield is now kind of like, cool, I will drop everything as soon as Battlefield 6 comes out to play ultimately.
Oh, you were pretty close.
Yeah.
It was definitely 2016. We're talking Battlefield 1. The episode's tagged. The first episode tagged with Battlefield 1 was 53.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which was 2/11/2016.
Yeah.
We talk Mafia 3. Ben gushes about Battlefield 1. Adil does too. Yep, that sounds about right. Oh, of course, they're billion. Oh, man, this is great. Sorry. This week marks a triumphant return of the beer-resistible Lucy, along with the awesome twosome Ben and Adil. We talked Mafia 3, Ben gushes about Battlefield 1, Adil does too. Of course, there are obligatory mentions of Hitman and Super Hexagon. Just like, yep, that...
Sounds like us, absolutely.
Yeah, sounds exactly like us.
Perfect. That's the episode to listen to. If you need something from Tank Top, that is the episode to absolutely listen to.
That's really funny.
Nice. Interesting, because obviously there's a new Mafia game out as well.
Oh, yeah.
Taking them Mafia. 9 years. The old world? The old country. The old country. Taking them 9 years to put out a new Mafia game. What I've... Very mixed reviews, but listening to a couple of people talk about it, I'm actually really interested. And I've actually downloaded the Mafia remaster onto onto the PlayStation. Because I'm like, ooh, I'm not going to play the old country or world, I can't remember what it is, but I'm not going to play that one yet, but I could dip back in. Mafia as an open world kind of ish game. Seems like the thing to jump into after the isolation of Death Stranding. Something maybe a little bit tighter, more combat and vehicles and things like that.
To be honest, that might be what I might do as well. Because like I said at the top of the episode, I've been thinking about playing something simple and city-like.
Yeah. Nice. Maybe we'll jump into a bit of Mafia then and have a look and chat about it in the coming weeks. But I think that probably rounds us out for tonight. We'll return to the beers. How did you find the Wylam as it went down?
It's great. I will say the what's nice is that last third of the beer, all the tastes were there, but they really melded together. So instead of having those distinct, oh yeah, there's that pineapple coming in because the mango's going away. Oh shit. The donut. I actually lost track of the donut again because it's the softest of the flavors, and they're all melding in a. They still have their like zones, right, like of the taste curve, but it's the transition's nice and is very smooth, and so just take, you know. I also been not focusing on like looking for flavors, and so the donut being the lighter, more nuanced of the three main flavors is a bit gone. I mean, it's there. It's just not like, oh yeah, this is the donut part. But the pineapple and mango are still great. I would thoroughly recommend.
Nice. Good. And actually, this Swim Deeper I would recommend as well. Bit of a higher percentage IPA.
Wait, what was it again?
It's 7.2. It's not a dipper. They don't call it a dipper. They just call it an IPA. So it doesn't hit that 8% that I think Wiper and Trew class is like. Is it Kali Dipper? Yeah. Which is an 8%.
I assumed this was a pun. But no. How do you spell the name? Sorry.
Swim Deeper.
See, I just
not
assume...
Swim Dipper.
Okay, but you know next summer they're going to come up with the Swim Dipper, right?
Absolutely.
Like they have
to. They have to.
And if they don't, I'll be mildly annoyed.
What was the... So Swim Deep was the pale. Yeah. Swim Deeper is the high percentage, higher IPA. And then the Swim Dipper should definitely be next year's double IPA. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the slightly more acritic, the slightly more earthy notes did dull down. They're still there a little bit, but they dulled down. The pineapple came through that little bit better the more I drank it. My palate acclimatized quite quickly, I think, to it as well. So actually, only about a quarter of a way into the can, I think I started getting the flavor that then just was prescient throughout the rest of it, essentially. Yeah, nice beer. I'd definitely drink it again. It'd be nice to see what this is like on tap as well. Maybe it doesn't quite have those slightly higher acrylic kind of notes, perhaps, that maybe a tinned version sort of brings in. So it'd be interesting to see sort of how that would come across. But yeah, very, very nice. And again, Wiper and Trew just banging out great beers. I had a 3.2 or 3.5 or 3.6% pale from them yesterday, which is a collaboration, which was really nice as well. New beer from them. So it's like, just you don't have to find beers from far afield. Your local brewery is brewing up a storm continuously, potentially, if they're still open with this economic climate currently. But hopefully they are, and hopefully you get to experience lovely beers from them. But good. That's it from us this week on the beers, on the games, and the things that we've been watching. If you want to chat to us, get hold of us in any kind of way, go to outoflives.net. You can see our lovely faces and the beers that we have been drinking for the evening on the video version, which is also on the Out of Lives YouTube page as well. We are on Blue Sky at outoflives.net. I'm Nova47 on Blue Sky. Adil is?
At the OmniArc.
And you can go to your podcast service of choice and rate and review us. And it's always helpful, whether it's Spotify or whatever podcast services exist now.
I mean, Apple Podcasts is still a thing.
iTunes. Pocket Casts.
Oh, yeah, Apple Podcasts isn't a thing. It's just iTunes now. Or it's is it? ITunes. I can't remember. At one point, there were two. Or I can't remember which. Apple Podcasts, it replaced iTunes. That's what it was. So, yes, Apple Podcasts.
Nice. And Pocket Cast as well. I know Google got rid of theirs, and there's been another couple of players that have disappeared over time. But, yeah, do that.
I mean, we know that if you just use a generic RSS reader, you won't be able to rate review, but, I don't know, write a note and tie it to the next piece of wildlife that you encounter as like. And maybe someone will find it.
Absolutely.
Or you, depending on what wildlife you happen to attempt that with.
Very much.
Condolences already to your family.
Thank you very much for joining us. We have been Tang Tap. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Bye.
www.outoflives.net